Good evening, one and all. Yes, Happy New Year, because this is the first one of this year that I've managed to do. Happy New Year. I hope you had a good Christmas, New Year, whatever. Few issues for me health-wise, but you do what you have to do, don't you? I am here for another year. We already have, I think something like about 20, 30 people booked for the year, and I'm always looking for more, so you never know. And I am here, and so is my guest for the day. Now, of course, New Year. Here we are, the 7th. How many people have dropped their New Year's resolutions, or is it revolutions in America at the moment? I don't know. New Year's resolutions. After a week, how many are still going? Hey, how many have made the effort? How many have made the effort for a change? Doing something totally different, actually sort of putting the effort in. Well, my guest today, she can tell us a little bit about that. She is a best-selling author, a keynote speaker, lifelong change maker. She brings us over 25 years of experience in driving personal and organization transformation. And in her new book, which is packed with compelling stories and inspirational quotes and exercises and stuff like that, it's called Hell Yes to Their Dreams and Create Meaningful Change in Their Lives, just as if you were gonna stick with your New Year's resolution. Anyway, I better introduce the because on the show today I have the one and only Kat O'Sullivan. Hi Kat, how are you doing?
Hi, Barry. I'm doing great. And I just have to say that I am not a fan of New Year's resolutions because I'm sure many would agree that they don't last very long.
Exactly. That's why
So,
I was pondering, here we are a week into it. How many people have still got them?
right. Several years ago, I started shifting my thoughts about that. And instead of a New Year's resolution, I frame it more as what is one word that I want to embody this year?
Ah, interesting.
And what are my intentions around that? You know,
Right.
how will that inform my intentions for what I choose to do? Or what I choose not to do.
So it's like, what's your, I mean, I have every year I want to do something different this year. I want to run a marathon. I want to do a stand-up comedy routine. I want to, write a children's book, etc. So that was, I always set a target for each year. But in your case, you say, okay, I love the idea of one word for a start. I think that's great because that is simple and easy, and it sets your target. And then it's what how you can get. You work out then round that how you can make that. How do you work through that?
Well, so once I have a word, so for example, this year I have decided to embody the word joy. So I will use it as a filter with every decision that I'm making or choices that I have. In other words, will what I'm thinking about bring me joy or will it not?
Good thinking. Very good.
And
Yes.
when I say yes, this is going to bring me joy, then it's about how am I going to, on purpose, make sure that what I'm doing is bringing me joy. And if it's not, time to take a pause and say, is that really what I want to be doing? So I think it makes it very simple and it becomes a filter that informs everything that you choose to do or choose not to do and why.
Do you put that bef as you do something, do you use that filter or before you do something or after you've done it or all of those?
Well, it could be all of them, but
Right.
for me, I'm the post-it note queen. So I
Oh,
put that word
okay.
I put that word in a prominent place,
Oh.
and then, when I'm given an opportunity to do something, You know, I say, you know, if I choose to do that, is it going to bring me joy?
Right.
And how am I going to make sure that it does? And if along the way I'm not experiencing that, then I rethink. You know, maybe I shouldn't have said yes to that.
Just saying about post-it notes remind me, I had a, oh, must be about 4 or 5 year ago now, historical romance writer. She'd written about 20, 20 books, and I said to her, I said, how do you manage to keep, who's been with who, and is this one's relationship with this one and everything, when you've got like so many books of the series and stuff like that. She says she puts post-it notes all along her wall of all like the family
I
reunions.
do. Well,
It.
and you know, when I'm thinking about what I'm going to do, so for example, you know, I'm working on a TED talk. I use post-it notes as opposed to an outline. In other words, you know, as I'm thinking through what I'm going to talk about, what the flow is, et cetera, I use post-it notes because guess what? It's easy to take them off and
Exactly.
put them on
It's a lot
and move them
easier.
around
Exactly.
and
Than doing an outline, having to keep scribbling it out. It's a lot easier. Oh, that is so good. So good. Your book, From Doubt to Do, what inspired you to write that?
Well, how many times I would ask your audience, how many times has something kind of been tugging at your heart? And you start thinking about doing it, and all of a sudden, doubt
Wow,
hits you. You know, can I really do this? Is it really possible? You know, what if this? What if that? And those what ifs usually aren't positive. You know, you're thinking of, you know, and the fear and the worry and the doubt. So, you know, when I looked over my life, I realized that every time I had a new opportunity, I was filled with doubt. All those things running through my head that would cause me to second guess myself, or, you know, should I really, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, by choosing to move through that and do it anyway, even when it seemed impossible, I've been able to do some pretty amazing things. And I thought, you know, when COVID hit, you know, my husband and I made a very bold decision to move from the United States to Mexico. And, you know, it was a pretty monumental move. And of course, you know, a lot of people were like, what the bleep are you doing? Why would you do that? Blah, blah, blah. And thankfully, we didn't give in to those doubts and those cautionary tales, et cetera. And we did it. And I finally had time to kind of step back and say, you know, if I were my younger self, what would I have wanted to know? And I decided, you know, this was a perfect time to step back and look at how have I been able to do the things I've done and share that with people who may be at a tipping point in their life where they're trying to decide, you know, do I make a bold move? Do I let go of what I've been doing and take hold of some new possibilities? And so the book is really full of my own personal stories and tools and resources that have helped me do the seemingly impossible over and over again. And, you know, to be able to share that with my readers, with my audiences, you know, and give them some practical tools and resources. Yes, inspiration, motivation, but also, you know, some practical tools and strategies for moving through those doubts and fears and worries, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, obviously myself, I know exactly what you mean about, it's a big upheaval coming from, a place where all your family is and you've always been there and everything like that, to a totally different country. And yes, there's lots of doubts and lots of people had doubts and stuff. And I, to be honest, If I could, I'd move back tomorrow. But you have to make up, you make the decision, you stick with it, you then have responsibilities and that, and you have to, you have to follow through. If you start having doubts, not just with yourself or with other things, then it makes things worse as well, because I think because you always at the back of your mind, you're doubling, get double guessing yourself. As you said, you sort of do this. It's I have this. We had the same. We've had sort of obviously in the number of shows I've done, there's lots of different subjects, and one of the subjects is like relationships we do and stuff like that. And people doubt, they're in an abusive relationship or through illnesses and stuff like that. There's Charles Aznavour, French singer. He has a song which I just love the lyrics of it, and I think it relates to a lot of people in that sort of thing. And the line goes, "You have to learn to leave the table when love's no longer being served." And too many people are stuck in a relationship because they are worried what their friends will think. They are worried what their family will think. Oh, well, my mother took being abused, so it should be that I should be able to take it, etc. And there's too many people who are worried about what other people think and not sure enough in themselves.
Well, it's the horrible, the word should. You know, last year my whole thing was to catch myself whenever I was listening or hearing the word should or have to, because we're always a choice, always. And, you know, I'm glad you brought up the relationship thing. I mean, I can say 35 years ago, I was in a relationship that was not healthy, and I was in it for 15 years for all the reasons that you just said. But at a certain point, it was like, no, enough is enough. And it was very difficult. And, you know, it was the best thing ever because, you know, when we're stuck in something unhealthy, you know, unless and until we make that decision, that choice to move away from it. Once we do, you know, what I heard myself say and what I've heard everyone else that I've talked to about these kind of things is, oh my God, I wish I had done it sooner.
Exactly. How many times do you hear that? And that's your bit. Is it like from doubt into action? Is that
Yes.
that's that part of it? And what give us a story, another story that sort of shows us that as an example, if you can.
Well, probably the thing that changed my life completely was at a young age, I was 16, and I had had a dream for 2 years to be able to travel with up with people. Now, a lot of people might not know what that is, but it's an organization that helps young people become lifelong change makers, and they have a 2-hour musical production that communicates a lot of positive messaging about, you know, coming together, unity, you know, across cultures, et cetera, and when I finally had that opportunity, and you know, my parents and my friends were like, you know, you'll never make it. They'll never pick you. They're only picking 100 people from around the world. I said, this is my dream. I'm going for it. And I actually picked up the phone, called NBC Studios, and asked for Bob. Now, you got to know, I was calling Bob Hope. Yeah. You know, was probably the top entertainer of his generation. And, you know, people are like, oh my God, you will never get through to him. And, you know, providentially, when I called, he happened to be there. They put him on the phone. And I shared that I had this opportunity that I thought could change my life, that I could become a change maker, make a difference in the world. And a few minutes later, Bob said, "Where do I send the check?" And he paid for my entire year on the road.
How good is that? That is wonderful. What a wonderful example. What a wonderful. I mean, the thing is, if you don't ask, you don't get. You know, this is the thing. You know, you have
well,
faith
and
in yourself.
If you ask, if you ask, what I learned from that is, number one, don't listen to the naysayers.
Yep.
Yeah. Number yep. two, ask for what you want, believing that you're going to get it.
Yep. Yep. Indeed.
And that's exactly what I did. And, you know, my passion obviously came through the opportunity. And I do have to say, I knew that Bob Hope was a big supporter of Up With People. He had emceed an NBC special with them the year before.
Okay.
So it's not like it was out of the blue yet. You know, what was the likelihood that I could just pick up the phone
and get through to
and
him
get
for
through
a start?
To him
yeah.
the first time.
Right. Yeah.
And in probably 5 or 10 minutes, be able to get a, hell yes, I'll do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, going on the road ended up being 2 years on the road, and it completely changed my life. And it really influenced who I've become and the work that I've chosen to do over the years to help give other people, especially young people, opportunities where they can learn more about who they are and what they're really capable of.
Indeed.
So that then they can go out into the world and do great things.
Indeed. And obviously, you know, you are a foster parent and a caregiver. How has that sort of influenced, you know, your perspectiveness, if you like, on this transformation?
Yeah, well, being a foster then adoptive parent of a girl who was abandoned by her family when she was diagnosed with a terminal illness at the age of 5 and a half. And it's a long story,
right.
But bottom line is I ended up coming across her, ended up seeing her. The doctors gave her 3 months, maybe, and she lived 26 years.
Wow.
And I learned a lot about what it means to be, you know, caregiver, advocate, you know, and believing, you know, that things were possible in her life. Everyone's were not.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, she lived many years. You know, it was difficult. She had a lot of issues. The brain tumor affected her cognitive abilities, et cetera. But, you know, 26 years of being a caregiver and an advocate to make sure that she was well taken care of throughout her life taught me a lot, taught me a lot and gave me a great appreciation for other caregivers, whether they're children or parents or, you know, whomever, the challenges that they face and the support that they need, you know, while they're in that
exactly
process.
I mean, caregivers, my wife did she was a caregiver for some years, companions and homemakers, and then looking after a basically hospice here with her father and then her mother, you know, and it's you don't realize how much it takes out of a person being a caregiver or looking after children. My own grandson is autistic. And he's four now.
Mm.
And, you know, every time he's ill and he, because he can't communicate, you know, he just gets into a tantrum. Well, not as bad as it was, but even
right.
So, because they can't communicate and they feel helpless. And you don't know the pressure that is on, you know, my daughter's a single parent and luckily her mother's sort
yeah.
of helps, you know, a couple of days a week sort of there with her to give her a thing, but a break and stuff. But people don't realize, yes, oh my goodness, you're a caregiver. You must be wonderful doing it. Yeah, but you don't know that if you're looking after an elderly person and you've been looking after them for a year, say, and that person dies, you don't realize how much that takes out of you. It's like one of your own close families died. It's very hard.
Yes. Yeah. No, I dealt with that with Vanessa, my daughter, and also with both my parents,
Right, yeah.
for a number of years. And it does take a lot out of you. And a lot of people don't have an appreciation for what that does and what kind of support is needed. You
Yeah,
know, they
indeed.
sometimes shy away.
Yes, yeah, they think they feel like they're not good enough, sort of thing. They shouldn't be looking for help, and
Yeah,
you
what
need
can I
help.
do?
Exactly,
Yeah.
you need help. There's people obviously listening to this, what we're talking about and stuff like that, and they say, well, I'd like to do that, but I feel I'm stuck. I don't know where to go, how to move forward. What sort of strategies can you point them in? What sort of direction for
I think
strategies?
the most impactful thing, and it sounds really simple, but it's amazing how we don't do it. And that is, well, number one, getting really clear about what it is that you really want and why it's so important to you. Without that, clarity, again, not only what you want, but why it's so important
So
to
it's not
you.
just a
And the
goal,
next thing,
it's why as well, which is the other thing. People say, oh, I've got a goal, I've
why
got a
is
target.
the
Why is it that?
Yeah, no, why is the most important thing? Because let me tell you, when you finally make a hell yes commitment to do it, things don't always go as planned. And if you don't have a strong why, you're likely going to back off. So it's really critical that you have that strong why and that you make a hell yes commitment to take one step forward. And it's amazing how, I joke that I love Tina Fey's approach, say yes and figure it out later.
I
And what I
remember.
have found with everything is once we make that first step, it's just magical. It creates momentum, and then we take another step, and then we take another step. And we gain confidence along the way. And pretty soon, oh my gosh, we're doing that thing that we thought was impossible. So it's one step.
Exactly. I remember, I mean, and it's a work ethics thing, but it does relate in a way that we had this thing, because there's too many people, especially in work environment, they say, oh yeah, I'll do it, I'll do it, I'll do it. And the thing was, say yes and do it, or else say no. Because too many
Right.
people, it's like you're saying, too many people say, oh yeah, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that, and they don't. That they whatever reason, they lose the courage, they lose the motivation, they lose the drive. But sometimes you just can't do stuff. Sometimes it's worse letting people down than saying, I can't do this. I can't do this right now. I'm going to need some help. I'm going to need to speak to somebody. I'm going to need somebody to help me as a caregiver care with this, because I can't keep going like this. I'm not
Well,
sleeping. It's
you're hitting on another important point that I glossed over.
Right.
Like once you have clarity and you know what and why, then you got to build the capacity that you need. But that capacity isn't going to happen if you don't take that first step. So along the way, it's not like you have to have it all figured out. It's like, this is what I really want. I'm committed to it. This is why it's so important to me. And I'm going to make that first step, trusting that as I take those steps, I'm going to figure it out, which figuring it out also includes learning what you need to learn, getting the skills that you need. But again, none of that's going to happen if you don't take that first step.
Exactly. It's like everything. The first step is the hardest one, many times, many times.
Yeah.
What's the most important takeaway, when people read your book?
That we get to choose how we live our lives every day, moment by moment, you know. And the real overarching message of the book is that we are actually living our legacy, not something that we're going to leave someday, but we are actually living our legacy every moment of the day. So we can do it by default, or we can do it by design.
Indeed.
You know, we can choose the life that we want to live and the impact that we want to have. You know,
yes,
it's a choice.
We have the choice, exactly. Well, exactly, is the choice is that the time is nearly run out. So, Kat, what I'm going to do now is hand the show over to you and have you tell everybody where they can find more about you and, of course, your books. So over to you.
Yes, thank you. The easiest way is to go to my website, which is Kat, and that's Kat with a K, K-A-T, at katosullivan.com. And everything that you would want to know about me, almost, you can find about my book. There's a book page. There's a speaking page. You know, you can find out what I'm up to. But, if you know, if you want to my book, Doubt to Do, Getting Your Way to Possibility, go to at katosullivan.com and click on books.
Okay. Well, Kat, thank you so much for being a guest on this show today. It's been very interesting and very enlightening, and I'm sure you are being a great help to a lot of people, and let's hope makes this world a little bit better place, just by even if it's one at a time, that we get there eventually. So thank you so much for being a guest today.
Well, thank you, and I do hope that your listeners will.
Okay, well, thank you. Well, there you go, my guest today. And we just about got there, I think, between the winds here in Connecticut and what Kat's got in Mexico with her storms and stuff down there. The signal was coming and going a little bit towards the end, but we got through it. That's the important part. Anyway, we've been talking to Kat O'Sullivan about her book, From Doubt to Do. Very interesting, very enlightening, and I'm sure a lot of people not only, hopefully, learnt stuff from this recording, but from her book as well. Well, that's it for now. I'll be back tomorrow with another guest. But until then, as always, we have one thing left to say. Don't forget.